Today's shir is Masechta Makos Daf Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah at the top of the Mishnah at the Amud. Mishnah Nigma Dinoi. If somebody was sentenced to death, Ubarach, he was accused, convicted, and sentenced. Ubarach, and then he runs away. Bolfnei Be'ezer Bezdin, and he comes and appears in front of the Bezdin that in which he was convicted. The loch is ain't soisim es dinai. We don't begin the din Torah all over again. Rather, whatever was decided is ain't soisim es dinai. We don't do the din Torah over, but whatever was decided is followed. Says the Mishnah, Kamakum she yam dushnei yam yamru. If there's any place that the two Adim will get up and say, Maid manu bish plani, we could say testimony. That this person was sentenced. That this person was sentenced in this bezdin. A plenty edov, and these were the edim based on whose testimony he was convicted and sentenced. That is enough to carry out the punishment that he's supposed to get. Noyegim the Sanhedrin says the Mishnah that the halacha of a Sanhedrin. Noyegin takes place both Baretz and Eretz Yisrael and Bein B'chutz Laretz in Eretz Yisrael. What this means is that when it has to be that the Beis HaMikdash is standing, because as we learned in the Masechta Sanhedrin so extensively, that the place that the Sanhedrin is in session is the Lishkas HaGozos, and therefore only when there's a Beis HaMikdash do we have a Lishkas HaGozos, and we can have a Sanhedrin. Without that, we cannot have a Sanhedrin. The question, of course, is that this halacha, why is it mentioned in this Mishnah? So I saw that the Sefer Kosh Yeshua says that even though the Gemara is going to ask, that we're going to see that the Gemara is going to ask questions, and in the Gemara's teretz that we're going to have, the Gemara is going to differentiate between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. So because we're going to be using that principle in our shir, that's why we already spoke about what's applicable in Eretz Yisrael and what's applicable in Chutz Laretz. We learned that if the two Adim come and say, we know that this person was sentenced and convicted and sentenced in this Bezdin, they also identify who the Adim were. So then the second Bezdin in front of which this happens will carry out that punishment. So the Tosfos Yontov asks, why does the Mishnah need to say that? Why do they have to say who the Adim were? Why did they just have? Why is it not adequate that they just say who convicted him, which was the Bezdin? So the Tosfos Yontov says the reason they have to mention who the Adim were in case that there are people who could be mazim those Adim or could contradict those Adim. We want to give them this opportunity. So by saying this, they're able to do so. The Rishash takes it, so that's why they mention the names of the Adim. The Rishash actually, I saw, takes this a step further. Because Rishash says that we always want to have a situation where they could be mazim the Adim. So if these people walking in now say, well, we could testify that this happened in this time and in this place, then we need them to be able to become Muslim. And since we need them to be able to become Adim Zoymimim, since we need to be able to make them into Adim Zoymimim, so that's why the halach is that we have to give the details that they should become Muslim. Sanhedrin, says the Mishnah, Hayregis Echa B'Shvua, a Sanhedrin that caused somebody to be killed once in 7 years, Nikra Chavlanis, is called a Sanhedrin of destruction. Causing people to die is not our way. And the way that Teres Yisrael explains the Mishnah, as we learned actually when we learned Masechta Sanhedrin, so when we learned Masechta Sanhedrin, we learned that a very important part of the procedure of the Bezdin is that the Beis Din asks questions. And the Gemara said that they asked so many questions that it was almost always that the Edom cannot remain consistent. And that's why over here, the Mishnah is saying that Beis Din that kills somebody so often must have not been doing their job right. Another pshat that I saw is that the Ben Yoyod suggests if people are getting killed by Sanhedrin so often, what that indicates is that the Sanhedrin is not doing its job properly. Because were the Sanhedrin to do its job properly, people would never be killed that often. And therefore, it's called the Chavlanas. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, it's even a bigger shear, given the examples that we just gave. They say the shear is Echad L'Shivim Shana, once every 70 years. When we say once in every 70 years, the Pasha Pshat is that they killed somebody once, and then it has to be at least an interruption of seven years. So why didn't the Mishnah just say if they killed, asked Aruch Haner, twice within 7 years? So he explains what will be, if the Mishnah would have just said Pamayim B'Shvua, we would say that the Beis Din killed somebody if the first day of the first year and the first day of the eighth year, it wouldn't be called Chavlanas because there's a 7 year interruption. But now that the Mishnah says once in 70 years, that would be considered a Chavlanas because you need to have 7 full years. And again, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is how much we have to avoid, a Beis Din has to avoid trying to be the source of somebody being killed. Tafron v'kiva omrim, ilo hayinu v'sanhedrin, they made a statement, even if we would have been in a Sanhedrin, loy nerag adam olam, nobody would have ever gotten killed. And the Pasha Pshat is that they would have asked so many questions till nobody would have been eliminated because of all the questions that they asked. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that isn't necessarily so positive because one of the reasons why a person is chayiv misa, there are actually two reasons when a person who does an aver for which there's a chayiv misa gets misa. One is because they deserve this punishment, and the other is to be a deterrent. And if what would happen here is that if they won't kill anybody, that deterrent that we're trying to have won't be happening. The question that I saw that the Mefarshim ask is that we know that Shofchei Damim, murder, is not the only case with somebody's chayiv misa. So why, if we're saying that if we would they would never kill anybody, there would have been more Shofchei Damim. There would have been more Mechalel Shabbos. There would have been more other people who do Averis. So the Tosfos Yontov explains that by other Averis, they don't affect society, as we've just been explaining. But when we speak of the terrible Averis, for which there is a punishment, but they don't affect society, this is an Avera that affects society, and that's why the Mishnah focuses on that. The Ben Yoyada, going back to something we mentioned a few minutes ago, explains that when we have a case of murder, there's so many questions, as we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, that could cause that the Dayanim should not kill the person, because we learned with what type of a weapon and exactly where was it, etc. So if that's why this case is mentioned more than any other case, because this is a case where we see more than anywhere else that asking questions could have saved the person. So I saw a pshat, what does it mean here, the loy nerag ma'olam, that the job of a tzaddik is to be able to be to save the dor. And if these people were not able to save the dor, that means there was something wrong here. And that's why the Gemara is saying that if we were in a Beis Din, that we hopefully would have been tzaddikim who are great enough that would have saved our generation, that nobody in our generation would get killed. Another pshat that I saw is based on something that I saw from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says that if somebody sees somebody violating an Aveira, that's an indication that there's something wrong with you. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have never have caused that you should have seen somebody do an Aveira unless some of that Aveira is in you. Says the Gemara that the Tafer Rabbi Akiva said that if we would have been in the Sanhedrin, we would have hopefully been on a Madrega that we wouldn't be able to see an Aveira because we were so distant from that Aveira. And if that would have been the case, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have never caused that we should see an Aveira. And the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have caused that we should never see an Aveira is because we never did an Aveira. Therefore, the halacha is that we should, therefore, they would have been never killed. So our Gemara is teaching us how sensitive we have to be that the Mishnah just said. We have to do whatever we can to make sure that nobody is put, that there should be a proper deterrent. So I saw a very interesting question that the Chishuk Yechema discusses. And that is that somebody was speeding. They were driving, they were speeding. And the police stopped them. And the reason they were speeding was because this was a male who was trying to make it to a bris. So what's the halacha? Should the male be stopped? Should he be punished? Or is it a fair excuse? I'm running to do a bris milah. And he takes a very strong position. And his position is that even though a person is running to do a mitzvah, our Mishnah just taught us a new concept. The Mishnah taught us a concept, Shloi Yarbish Shayf Chidam B'Yisrael. And as much as it's important to do a mitzvah, that doesn't give a heter that somebody should be allowed to, speed and put society in danger. And the same thing I saw is that somebody wants to help somebody who may lose his license. Is he allowed to do things to help somebody lose his to avoid him losing his license? And the answer again, he takes the position that no. He says that somebody who's driving in a dangerous fashion is a person who should not be on the road. And if it's a person like that who should not be, if that's the kind of person who should not be on the road, then we shouldn't let him be on the road. And not try, it's not a time and a place to start having rachmanis on people who are not driving or could put people into danger. Says the Gemara. Lifnei Oisa Bezdin, says the Gemara, this din that we learned in our Mishnah, that if a Bezdin convicted and sentenced a person and he comes back to the Bezdin, we don't redo it in the Torah. It seems to be Lifnei Oisa Bezdin, that only if it's in front of that Bezdin, who the ain't Soisrim, we don't do it over. Halifnei Bezdin Acher, it seems that we would go to another Bezdin. Soisrim, then we would perhaps redo it in Torah. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's the halacha? For Tani Sefer, let's continue learning our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if they come and say, we could say testimony, that this entire happened in this Bezdin, or plenty Adov, and these were the Adim, Harez and Nereg, and we don't do over the Dintaira. And says the Gemara, Amabaya, like Kasha. The way it could be reconciled, can Eretz Yisrael, that if the next Bezdin is in Eretz Yisrael, that there the there's different ways I saw the Rishonim explain. One explanation that I saw is that the Rishonim suggest that if it's in Eretz Yisrael, then we can assume that the Bezdin has the Chus of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Chus of Eretz Yisrael could change everything. That's one pshat that I saw. The other pshat that I saw, it's not really dependent on the Schus of Eretz Yisrael, but Avir da, which another way of saying the Schus of Eretz Yisrael, is that we know that Avir da Aramachim, that Yisrael makes a person smarter, And maybe if it would have taken place in Eretz Yisrael, that Beis Din would have come to a different conclusion. But if the second Beis Din is in Chutz Laaretz, they don't have these different considerations. And therefore the Mishnah says that if it comes to a second Beis Din, then it just doesn't, we don't do the Beis Din, we don't do the Din Torah over again. The Tanya, and says the Gemara, we've learned that a Braisa, Rehuda ben Destoy, Imer Mishim, Reb Shimon ben Shatach, Barach Ba'aretz L'chutz Laaretz, if this person ran away, this convicted individual ran away from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, then the halacha is ain't sois mistinai. We don't do the Din Torah over again. However, if you ran from Chutz Laaretz to Laaretz, if you ran from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, then sois mistinai, we do the Din Torah all over again because Chutz Laaretz to Yisrael. Sanhedrin Nahagas says the Gemara that the Sanhedrin is applicable both for Aretz and in Chutz Laaretz. Ask the Ramanani Mili, from where do we know this din? Says the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanan, V'hoi Eilil Chem L'chukas Oilam Mishpil L'dari Seichem, B'kol Mishpil Seichem. L'manu, from here we learn that the Sanhedrin, Hagas Bein Baris Bein B'chutz Laaretz, is applicable in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. So of course the question is, that we know the Gemara Masech, the Kedushin, Daf Lam Zayin, Amun Aleph teaches us that whenever there's a mitzvah, which is a personal obligation, it's not a mitzvah tluy baritz. It's not something that's related to the ground. The halacha is it always applies in Chutz Laaretz. Why would we think that this is different? So the answer I saw is because the pasuk says that shaitim v'shaitim titlcha b'chol sharecha. Chol sharecha means in Eretz Yisrael. And because it means in Eretz Yisrael, that's why we would think it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Gemara had to teach us that no, that this halacha is even in Chutz Laaretz. In Cain, and indeed asked the Gemara, if that's the case, matam alayim v'sharecha, what do we learn from the sharecha? Says the Gemara, b'sharecha, in Eretz Yisrael, we have an obligation, Moshe, but the dinim b'chol plach b'plach, every state, u'b'chol ivi ir. B'chutz Laaretz, at the Moshe b'chol plach b'plach, every state has a Beis Din system. However, we at the Moshe b'chol ivi ir, not in every city. And there's a beautiful vort from the Dubna Magid to explain this Gemara. The Dubna Magid says that he explains with a marshal. There were cities and there were villages. In those times, in the cities, there were doctors. In the villages, there really weren't that many doctors. If somebody was really sick, he would have to travel to the city to have a doctor. So there was once somebody from a village came to the city, and the individual came to the city, and he tells the person from the city, we in the villages are obviously much healthier than you in the cities. Because when I walk into the doctor's office here in the city, I see many people waiting online. Obviously, there are many people who are not well. When I come in my town, we only need doctors infrequently. And the person told him, just the opposite. We who have doctors available to us, we don't only go to the doctors when we're unfortunately sick. We go to the doctors whenever we need to go to the doctor, even if we're not that sick, but we don't want to get sicker. Or we go to the doctor for preventive medicine. So that makes us actually be healthier because we have this better and constant care. You who live in the villages only are able to go to the doctor, or only actually go to the doctor when you're very sick. And since you only go to the doctor when you're very sick, that's why you're going to be in much bigger health concerns. That's what the Gemara is saying here. What the Gemara is saying here is, in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make sure that we're really healthy. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to make sure that we are really healthy, What does he do? He has doctors. He has betei dinim. He has rabbonim. B'chol plach u'plach u'b'chol ear v'ear. In chutz la'aretz, where it's an entirely different situation, there are only betei dinim b'chol plach b'plach, but there aren't necessarily b'chol ear v'ear. So we learned a Sanhedrin hayregis, a Sanhedrin that kills somebody once every 7 years, is a chavlanis. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says once every 70 years. Ibailu, says the Gemara. How do we understand what Rav Elazar ben Azariah's statement, Achs L'Shim Shana, doesn't mean Achs L'Shim Shana, that if they kill once every 70 years, Nikra Chavlanis, that too, according to him, is considered a Chavlanis? Adilma, that he agrees that if a Bezdin kills so infrequently, only once every 70 years, that's a rechara, that's already considered normal. Says the Gemara further, Rav Tafra, Rav Kiva, Omer, Ilo Hayinu, were we in the Sanhedrin, nobody would have ever gotten killed. So ask the Gemara, Hecha Ev Ovid, they still, of course, have to have everything honest. And since they have to have everything honest, they would still have to have Dinei Torah that are done in an honest fashion. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, what would have they done to make sure that everything is still done honestly? Says the Gemara, B'yachin, Rebelozo, Dhamma, Tavayu, where they would have asked the question, Re'isim, Trefa Harag, or Shalom Harag. The question we would ask them was, when this person was killed, was he a Trefa? Was the person who was killed a Trefa or not? Because the halacha is that somebody who is a Trefa is not, if you kill such a person, the halacha says that you're killing a dead man. And therefore the question we would have asked is this person a Trefa? And that's the kind of question that most people cannot answer because you can't really know what's doing inside. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravashi, Imtim Tzoloimer, and if we'll say that the Eidim will say that they did identify that this person was a Shalim, that this person was completely healthy, not a Trefa. So the question they would ask him was, Dilma Saiv Nakam Hava, Dilma Vamakam Saiv Nakam Hava. Maybe the place where they stabbed the person, that's where he had a hole already before. And since he already had a hole there from before, then you can't tell us with definitiveness that he's not a Trefa. So Tosfos asks a question that the Gemara Masechta Chulin discusses a similar discussion. And the question is that we know an animal that's a Trefa is an animal that we may not eat. And the question is, maybe the place where the Shoichet cut the animal's neck, there was a hole there. And how will we ever be able to eat meat? And the Gemara answers that we rely on Roiv. And most animals don't have such a situation. And that's why we don't have to be concerned about that. So if that's the case, that there's a concept that we rely on Roiv, why can't we apply it here as well? So that's why Tosfos has a different understanding. Tosfos' question is that we would have asked so many questions, not that this question is the question that we would have been able not to convict based on. The point is that we ask so many questions, and therefore the halacha is the Eidim would have eventually not been able to know. And the Ramban also takes the same approach. He says, the Gemara says that how do we know he wasn't a Trefa? We inspected him. So says the Ramban, many, if not most, of the ways a person is a Trefa is done are internal. We don't know there's no way the Eidim could have known. They didn't have x-rays. They can't know what was doing inside. The point is that we were asking a lot of questions. Boilas Erva Hechavit says the Gemara, if somebody saw a couple having improper relations, we would have caused that they shouldn't be convicted and sentenced. How would we have done that? Abai V'Ravda Amri, the question we would ask them, Re'isim, when they did the act, were you able to see it exactly? And if you didn't see the exact act of Bia, then again, you're not valid Eidim. Rabbanim Heichudainu, So as the Gemara Rabbanan, who disagree with, who didn't say what Rav Kiva and Rav Tarfon said in our Mishnah. So how do they indeed ever have a din Torah that involves such a situation? Why should we not be concerned that they didn't see the exact act? And says the Gemara could have Shmuel, because they followed the opinion of Shmuel. Damim b'Shmuel, that Shmuel's opinion is Menachem Mishyar Menachem, that in order to have a din Torah about somebody having done such a situation, that's where you have to have, as long as you see them acting in a way that a couple acts when they're having relations, their halacha is that it's that's where the halacha is, it's enough to be able to convict on. So I saw that even though there's a discussion here, do we kill somebody? Or what does it take to kill somebody when he does such an act? I saw that the Paiskim suggest that there are two halachas when a woman has an improper relation. One halacha is that if they have an improper relation, that the deed, if it was done b'mezid, etc., there's a chiv misa. The other halacha is that if there's an improper relationship, the husband and the wife is now also to the husband. So even though Rav Kiva and Rav Tarfon just said that in order to kill somebody, you have to see Re'isim, you have to have Kemach B'Sheferis, that's only in order to kill. But in order to have that the woman can no longer be married to the husband, you don't have to have that standard. And everybody will agree that if it was Mishiyaru K'menafim, when it's clear to us that what they're doing is something that is improper, their halacha is that they would be put, that the wife becomes also to the husband. Hanrolach Ketzer Edom, Hanrolach Ketzer Edom, Hanrolach Ketzer Edom. Now our parak begins to discuss the halacha of golos. The halacha is that if somebody kills someone else b'shogig, not just b'shogig, but as we're going to learn in our shir, there are more rules than just b'shogig. But if somebody kills somebody b'shogig, they go to golos, and the question is how, what, when. So says the Mishnah Elena Golan. When is golos given? When somebody kills ha'hoirig nefesh b'shkaga, or somebody kills b'shagig. And the purpose of our Mishnah, as we're going to see all the Rishonim say, that the point of the Mishnah and the point of the Gemara is to teach us that what is in halacha considered a shagig, and there the halacha is that the perpetrator runs to the golos, and the running to the golos has two purposes. One is that that's the kapara for his avera, and the other is as long as he's out in public, the goyel hadam, the victim's relatives, have a right to kill him. But we're going to learn that there are two cases where there is no golos, but the two cases are very different. If there's a case of karav la'onis, where the shagig is really, not even because of negligence, the halach is that there's no golos. And then there's a case of karv le-mezid, where there is no golos. And the Rambam says that there's a difference. When somebody is exempt from golos because he's karv le-oinis, the killing means that this person doesn't need the kapara of golos. Not only does this person not need the kapara of golos, but the goyel hadam is not allowed to do anything to this perpetrator because it was an oinus. It was something beyond his control. On the case of karav lemezid, it's just the opposite, says the Rambam. Golos, as we're learning now, is a kapara. A person who killed somebody else when he was karav lemezid, then the halacha is that he doesn't get the schus, he doesn't get the privilege of having a kapara through golos. Moreover, the opinion of the Rambam is that somebody who killed karav lemezid, the goyel hadam is allowed to take vengeance. And not only is the goyel hadam allowed to take vengeance, but the goyel hadam could take vengeance even if this person ran to the Ori Miklat. Another nafkamina would be if an akum killed a Jew. If he killed him in a way of karav l'oinus, as we're going to learn, then he's not obligated to get a punishment. But if an Akum kills somebody, Karv Lemezid, that person is Mechuyev Nisa. Says the Mishnah, Elayin Agoylim, Hahari Nefesh Bishkaga, if somebody kills somebody Bishkaga. What does that mean? Shaimagba Magila. They used to use a plane. The roofs were flat. And when you have a roof that's flat, you have a real problem for rains, that it's going to, if it's raining hard, it could harm the roof, it could rain into your house. So what they used to do is they used to put a coating of tar on the top of the roof, and they put it somewhat on a slant that it should the rain should roll down. And if you're using this type of a tool to flatten out the tar, v'nafal olav, and as you're using this tool, it drops and it falls on somebody passing by for hargasa, and it kills him. Or hay mishash b'chavis, somebody's lowering a basket from the roof to the ground, v'nafal olav, and he lost control of the basket and it fell and killed somebody for hargasa. Or hayyad b'saylim, so yard basulim, somebody's going down a ladder for nafal of hargoy, and it fell on somebody and it killed him. And all these cases raise a goyla, the person who killed the other person is chayiv goyla. Taisha says that why does the Mishnah have to give us all three cases? The Mishnah is teaching us that not only in the case where the magila fell out of your hand, that's where you chayiv goyla, because you should have been careful not to let it drop. But even in the case where you're lowering a basket, where somebody is lowering a basket, of course, he's trying to be careful that it should go down properly and slowly, and it shouldn't break. And still, if it killed somebody, you go to a golus. But even if somebody who's going down a ladder, that somebody's going down a ladder, obviously, he's worried about himself, that he shouldn't chas v'shalom fall off the ladder. So therefore, this person presumably was being very careful. And because he was being very careful, we ought to say that he's not chayiv golus. Teaches us the Mishnah that in all these cases, he's still chayiv golus. But, continues the Mishnah, aval hay moshe b'gola, if he's moving this instrument up, or v'nafla lov, if it fell on somebody, v'hargasa, or he's pulling a barrel up from the water. The nefsek chavel and the string that attaches it snapped. The nafal of the hargasay and fell on somebody and killed him. Somebody's climbing up a ladder. The nafal of, and as he's climbing up a ladder, fell down the hargoy. In all these cases, hareza in a goyla. In other words, the Mishnah is teaching us that there's only chiv golus when it happens derech yirida, not when it happens derech aliyah. Only when it happens going down, where it's not going upwards. Zeh klal. Kol shem derech yirida, so anything happened when we're going downwards, the halacha is goyla. Then there is goyla. Shloi b'derech yirida, so, but if it only happened in an upward fashion, ain't a goyla. Because explained the Rishonim, that when it happens derech aliyah, it's more karv l'oinus, as we just learned in the Mishnah, that we just explained a few moments ago, that derech yirida, since it's more likely to have happened, that's why we can't call the person an oinus. When it happens derech aliyah, then it's much more of an accident, much more karv l'oinus. And therefore, since it's much more car of loyness, as we learned, then the halacha is that there is no chiv golus. And as we also learned, as in such circumstances, the goyel adam may not do anything to the person that caused this to happen. Ask the Gemara, where do we know this halacha that we just said from? The Torah says, from here we learn, the pasuk says, not that the Ari Miklot. For not Shamar Itzeich Makin Nefesh Bishkaga. It's only if he killed Bishkaga, Prat B'mezid. If it happened B'mezid, there is no Golus. B'vili Das, says the Gemara, Prat L'mskavin. If there was intention, there is again no Golus. Ask the Gemara, Mezid. If he did it, Mezid, Pshita. If somebody kills somebody deliberately, Baktolahi, the perpetrator is Chayiv Misa. Of course there's no Geolus. Amma, Rava, and therefore Rava says a whole new Teretz. Ema, what it means to say is, Prat Loimer Mutter. That if somebody killed somebody because he thought that there's nothing wrong, the halach is that there is no Geolus. Amma Abaya, I'm a mutter, if the person thought that what he's doing, I'm a mutter means that he thought that he was doing is permitted, honest who? Why should that person not be considered honest? And we're learning throughout our shir that I'm a mutter is that honest was brought from Gauls. Amalei, Shani, I'm a mutter. My opinion is that somebody who says I'm a mutter, going back to something that we've been discussing, Karv Lemezit. I consider him a karv lemezit, and since I consider him a karv lemezit, that's why the halacha is different, and there is no golus. Why is that the halacha? So many mefarshim say because saying that I didn't know is not really an acceptable excuse, because every Jew is obligated to learn, and if he didn't learn, because he didn't learn, he made a mistake. That's not acceptable. That's karv lemezit. Bevli das, we learned the pasuk says bevli das prat lemiskaven. Says the gemara miskaven pshita. Again, if somebody killed somebody intentionally, bak talahu he's chayiv misa. Amarava, it means prat lemiskaven lahargas behema. Somebody saw something approaching. He thought that it was an animal for hargas adam, and then it turns out that he killed a person. That's one pshat. Or another pshat is there was a person standing next to an animal, and he was aiming for the animal, and instead he hit the person. Kuti, Farag Yisrael, or there were two people, a Kuti and Yisrael, and he hit the Yisrael instead of the Kuti. Nefo, the third person, the child that he was intending to kill was a Nefo, somebody who's a child that is not going to survive. And Vaharag Ben Kayama, Tana Bonin. The pasuk says, "In bepesa beloy eva hadafai, a hushlach alav kol kli beloy tzedia." What do we learn from the words "in bepesa"? Prat l'karen's office. That if you killed somebody at the corner, and when he came out of the corner, you had no way of knowing that somebody is walking with a knife in his hand, and somebody comes out around the corner, and you had no way of knowing that that person is walking there. So then, if you killed him, that is considered karav l'oynis. The Rishonim, in explaining this Gemara, do want to differentiate if the person that was coming from near or he's coming from further. When it happened, the Pesah, when they just had this immediate altercation, that's when this halacha applies. But if it wasn't an immediate altercation, then perhaps there is an expectation that they should have been watching out. And if they're not watching out, then the halacha would be that it's not. Then if they're not watching out, then maybe it's not considered karav l'oynis. B'lay eva says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, prat li soina. That if somebody is a soina, as we going to learn, what is the definition of a soina? The definition of a soina is somebody who didn't talk to somebody else out of enmity. People don't always speak to each other. We don't always have the opportunity to see each other. But that's because we just didn't see each other. But here, they didn't speak to each other because of they became enemies. Then that person is and kill somebody, that's not considered a case of shagig. He can't claim, and Bezdin doesn't accept, that that's a case of shagig. Hadafai, pshedafkai begufai. If somebody gave somebody else, pushed him, and that person got killed that way, it's not considered shagig. That the halach is adafoy, that if somebody killed somebody that way, he is chayiv golus. It's not, we don't say it was done b'mezid. Ahishlechalav, lahavi yirida shalitzirch erliya, Mar will discuss that. B'loy tzadiya, that he didn't have intention. What does that mean? Prat l'skaven l'tzadze. He intended to throw it to this direction, v'lomid v'holchel tzaracher, and then it went in a different direction. V'ashloy tzoda, pratam skavim lezuk shtayim, he intended he threw a stone, he intended it should go only 2 amma, and it ended up going 4 amma, and it killed somebody. V'ashiyovas reib, in that case, it's considered karav loynus. Ashiyova esirei biyar teaches us the raisa. Mayar, just like when we speak about a forest is a place. Rishus lanizik ulamazik likanisham. It's an open area for everybody may enter. Afkal rishus lanazik likanisham. The where is this applicable? Where both the mazik and the nizik had a right to be there, but if the nizik had no right to be there, and then the mazik did it to him, then the halacha is that there is no galus because he didn't have to expect that the person was there. What would be the halacha? I saw that the Rishonim ask in a case that the mazik went into the rishus of the nizik without rishus, and he killed somebody b'shogeg, or if they both went into a third party's property without rishus, do we say that in such a case there is no galus because both of them in this case had no permission to be there, or they just have to be in the same status? So if we both walked into a place that we're not allowed to be, we're both equal and therefore we're chayv galus. Barmina, Rav Avraham Rabbi Yochanan, Oya Oyla B'sulam. Somebody's going up a ladder, v'nishpta shaliva metachtav, and one of the rungs of the ladder fell because of his weight, v'nafla v'harga, and it fell and it killed somebody, mahu k'agavna. Do we say that this is considered aliyahu? He was going up the ladder, ayridahu, because the rung of the ladder fell and killed the person. Amalei k'fandagata b'yridishil tzarech aliyah. So as we said a few moments ago, the Brisa spoke about a case of Yerida Shel Tzarech Aliyah, and now the Gemara says that this is considered a Yerida Shel Tzarech Aliyah, and from in this case that we learned is Chayiv Golos, and there will be Chayiv Golos. Esrei asked the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Kol Shvi Derech Yerudasa Goyla, Shlai B'Derech Yerudasa Ena Goyla, Shlai B'Derech Lidasa. So the question is, what was the Mishnah trying to teach us with this halacha? Shloi b'deich irisa lasuya mai, what is it coming to teach us? Lav lasuya kai gavna. So the Gemara is saying that isn't that what the Mishnah is trying to teach us? That this case of a yurida l'tzarech aliyah, that you don't go to Golus. Says the Gemara l'tameich, so says the Gemara, let's continue analyzing the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, ask the Gemara, Lasuyamai. The Torah says that, and all the cases of the Mishnah are about a derech yurida. So what's the Mishnah trying to teach us with that halacha? Elasuya katziv. It's coming to teach us the case of a katziv, a butcher, which we're going to discuss in a moment. Hachnami lasuya, it's coming to teach us the case of a katziv. And that's the point of what the last words of the Mishnah are here to teach us. Nothing to do with the case of the rung of the ladder. The Tanya and the Bryce explains. Katzev shoyim a katzev. If you have somebody who's breaking bones of an animal, Tanachada, one Bryce says that if he was doing it with the knife, with whatever he uses to cut the meat, moving lefonov in front of him, he's chayv galus. Lachrev, if the knife was behind him, he's potter. But Tanya Yidot, there's another braisa that says, La'akrav, if the knife was behind him, he's chayiv, lefanov, potter. But Tanya Yidot, and the third braisa teaches us, bein lefanov, bein la'akrav, chayiv. But Tanya Yidot, and the fourth braisa teaches us, bein lefanov, bein la'akrav, potter. How do we reconcile all these cases? V'loy kasha. Can be read ish lefanov, when the butcher is putting the knife towards the front. And the reason he's pushing it towards the bottom, because now what he does is, because he wants to come down with a significant amount of force, he puts the knife down in front of him, and like that he'll be able to put it behind him and then put it again with a lot of force in front of him. So in a case with a Yerida Shelafanov. He put it going downwards because he wants to go back with that knife. That the halacha is that, and while he's doing this, he unfortunately killed somebody. There will be golus. Can Belia Shelafanov Yerida Shelachrov? In a case where he has the knife going upwards in front of him, and then it goes downwards behind him. In that case, since it was going downward, it's again chayif. Can be really shlofanov v'shlacharov. In a case where going backwards or forward down, he's chayif. Can be liyish shlofanov v'shlacharov. In those cases, he's going to be potter from golus. And that's all the cases that the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Says the Gemara, Lema Ketanoi. So again, this question that we just posed, the Gemara just posed, that what's going to be halacha if one of the rungs of the ladder fell down? So the Gemara wants to suggest it's Machlok Ketanoim. The Mishnah teaches us, the Braisa teaches us, Hayayla Basulam, if somebody's going up a ladder, Venishta Shliv Metaktav, and one of the rungs fall, Tani Chada Chayiv, Tani Edech Potter. My love, how do we understand that Machlokes? The question that we've been discussing in our shiur, the Masover is considered Yerida because the rung of the ladder was going down. Or Masover, and the other Braisa says, since the person was going up the ladder, it's considered Aliyahi, says Marloi. The Kulam Aliyahi. Everybody's going to claim that this is a case of Aliyah. The Khan, like Kasha, the discussion of that Braisa is a question if this rung hit somebody and did damage. The question is Linyan Lezaiken regarding the question of damages. Can Almish, and that's where you're chayiv, because the halacha is Adam Mu'ud Loilam. And if you cause damage, you're always going to be chayiv. Can the Braisa that says that your potter is speaking about Golos. And therefore, Golos has different halachas than Nezikin. Both prices are speaking about golus. Loi kasha. Hoda asli, if the rung was rotten, and therefore the person going up on it caused it to break, so that's called derech yirida. Hoda layatli, if the rung is in good shape, so then the person, it's considered karvel oimus. Vayv asay mahava hoda layatli. Loi kasha. Hoda mahadik, if it's tight in the ladder, then it's considered not considered derech yirida. There is no expectation that rung of the ladder is going to go down. The only expectation of what happened here is that somebody's going up the ladder. However, if the rung in the ladder is not in tight, so then there's then what we have to be concerned is that rung, as you go up the ladder, is going to go downwards, and that's why it's considered derech yirida.